We started. You'll have to drop the theme song in.
We got to drop the theme song in later. Yeah. Welcome to the Ladies and Gentlemen Comedy Film Nerds episode 384. Oh.
A lot to talk about.
We have a lot to talk about. We are back in the ATC studios.
We are.
Aaron Brungard has been abducted by the Yakuza.
By his wife.
By his wife.
She's
honeymoon. In the Yakuza. She's taking him on a Yakuza honeymoon. So Brent, the social media guy, has been drugged and put in charge of the producing.
Of the ones and twos.
Of the ones and twos. So... we got a lot going on.
We do. And it's, you know, I'll tell you, I don't remember the end of August being such a, like, dead, empty period for movies, but there's been very few releases.
Very few releases. And we'll get into that. I mean, I actually watched something on iTunes, and I was torn between what I was going to buy. I rented it. But there's one movie that I think we watched a trailer for that's...
Note?
No, not Death Note. I almost watched. Now that I saw the trailer, I'm going to watch that. And we're going to talk about Death Note on a future episode. Because Willem Dafoe,
a death god.
As a death god, who's part,
with a book.
Part Joker, part girl,
part,
with
porcupine.
Part girl with a dragon tattoo haircut, is something that we want to discuss. Not today's episode, though.
We're
But I want to, yeah. Then that movie, Bushwick. That's the sort of the Purge, America Civil War movie. That's limited.
No, that's the news.
That's the news, right. Oh, that's right. That's since the election. Okay. That's...
you were watching CNN.
I was watching CNN. Well, CNN is available on iTunes and in theaters, as it turns out. Who knew? What else are we going to talk about today, Chris?
We got a lot of movies. We're going to talk about Dave Made a Maze, Gifted, and Patty Cakes. And I want to introduce our guest.
Yes, you know, he's been on the show before.
How many times?
I think this is his third. I want to say third appearance.
Look at that.
He reached out to me several years ago just as like, hey, I'm a fan and I want to be on your show. And I was like.
And then 3 years later, we had him on.
I was like, ah, take a number, Wingbird. I don't know, some freak on the internet emails me. I don't know what this guy is. But no, and then. He has written for John Oliver. We've done Doug Loves Movies together, and now is writing for Jim Jefferies. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Avery.
Hey, guys. It's good to be back. It is good to be back. I just moved back to Los Angeles. So
we love having return guests.
I love doing this show. Listen, I am a fan. I mean that. And it's one of the reasons I love doing this podcast is because I listen to it. And it drives me batshit crazy when I cannot chime in with an opinion. I'm just, even before when you guys were talking, I was like, ooh, I have shit to say about that. So I love coming here and just letting loose.
What recent episode have you listened to where you were like...
I haven't listened in a while. I got to be honest.
Oh, wow.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing, guys. I lived in New York for 5 years.
Where they don't get podcasts.
Where they don't get podcasts.
Well, here's the thing. I listen to podcasts when I drive. It's my drive time activity.
Oh.
So in New York, when I'm on the subway, I read. And I don't listen to... I know, guys. Well, I'm fancy. I'm very important.
I'm a subway-taking intellectual.
Here's part of the reason why. Because I feel like I can't have headphones on in the subway because I have to be ever vigilant because some shit could pop off at any minute. It's the New York City subway.
Right.
And it's only been getting... crazier,
really?
Just in these, yeah. It's a shit festival back
like
there. I don't know
so?
What's going on. The trains are not running anymore. There's some picture we saw online that it was like people waiting for the J or the L or something, and it was just this massive line wrapped around like a. I'd never been in this particular station, so I don't know what the deal was. But yeah, just hundreds of people waiting, trains not showing up, breaking down.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it's really. I got out just in time. So.
Wow.
So it's good to be back.
Sounds like some budgetary issues in the city of New York.
A little bit.
Looks like Bushwick's coming to life, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Watch the trailer for Bushwick. Texas secedes from the Union and martial law is declared.
Oh, wow. Is it like Man in the High Castle?
Maybe. Might be. But it's a
alternative universe?
Well,
alternative history?
No, it's like... maybe 18 months down the road.
I know, right?
Quick peek into the
future.
We're
all like, oh, that could happen, I guess.
So, all right, well, let's start talking about some movies. I saw Dave Made a Maze.
All right.
Now, this movie I was excited to see because it looked absolutely just ridiculous, fun, and absurd, and it was. It was definitely all of those things.
Nick Thune, who's been on the show,
yes.
It's his film.
He builds a cardboard maze in his living room that it's a lot bigger on the inside than the outside. He gets lost in it. And then his girlfriend and a film crew and a bunch of his friends go in to try to save him from the maze. But it just gets bigger and bigger, like it has a life of its own. And there's a cardboard minotaur that chases them. And it's really an insane movie.
Now, I want to see this now. Can we stop?
Yeah. Now, I loved when I was reading the trivia about this that said they initially utilized scrap cardboard from an American apparel factory in L.A., the producer thought they had more than enough for the length of the shoot, but then they ran out 3 weeks later, and the company would not give them any more scrap cardboard.
Damn.
But luckily, they were shooting next to Solar City, and they were willing to have the crew dumpster dive for all the cardboard they needed. And then the cardboard was returned to those same dumpsters for recycling. The production did not pay for any cardboard, and the whole movie is literally a cardboard maze. So, wow. And the other thing that they said is that there was only enough space for two rooms of the maze to be built at any one time. So while one was being filmed, the other one was being built. And they said the average lifespan of a room was 4 hours. So literally there was no reshoots because they had to tear down the cardboard sets every single, every time they changed it.
It's amazing that you liked it because it's a first, it's a first time director. Not that that
right.
means, they should be awful in their first outing. But like it's this guy, Bill Watterson, who's basically mm-hmm. just been a TV actor.
Yeah.
But
it was absurd and ridiculous. People died. And when I read the description, I'm like, horror comedy. I'm like, where's the horror in this? This is just kind of weird, absurd. But, you know, if you have a couple people die and from cardboard, then you can slap the word horror on it
as well.
I mean,
it does sound like utterly ridiculous, but then potentially terrifying.
Yeah.
To be lost. Think of all the times you've gotten lost somewhere where you didn't expect to get lost, where suddenly you're just, even if it's a parking lot, and you're like freaking out because you can't find your car or even how to get out of the lot. You know, like shit like that always is kind of weird and intriguing.
So it was really inventive and interesting the way they did the different cardboard rooms and parts of the maze and then the creatures that were actually inside it. It still felt like it did have that kind of first-time director feel to it, for sure. It was definitely uneven and rough around the edges, but who cares? I mean, it was that's the kind of movie, you know what you're getting into after you see the trailer.
And, I from the trailer, too, I was like, well, this isn't just an inventive, I just love an inventive idea. Like,
right,
he builds
exactly.
this little cardboard thing, and it actually goes into this giant world.
Yes.
I'm like, I'm in. That sounds, it felt like Being John Malkovich, sort of that,
right.
like... You know,
it has that vibe.
7.5
it has that vibe to it too. Now, the one thing I love that the filmmaker did not do, like, there's a film crew that goes in to find Dave. They did not do the found footage bullshit thing.
Oh,
like
oh,
I was like,
great.
Oh, thank God, they just shot it. There's a film crew following in the boat that we don't see every shot from the film crew's perspective.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it was nice to see. My one complaint is that Rick Overton was completely wasted in the movie. Like he plays a hobo that they try to help. He was like,
does he or was he just sleeping?
Yeah,
where they were shooting.
Say that. Hey, Rick. We love you.
There's this guy in the trash who keeps doing a Sean Connery impression.
And he's the guy getting him the cardboard.
And that was it. That was the thing in the movie where it was like, I thought you knew mazes. He goes, no, I know cardboard. Because he's a bum.
That's a very Rick thing to say.
Yeah,
too.
It's funny, you know, Rick is so talented. He just lit up every scene he was in, but he was only in two.
Oh,
so he was kind of like when you have Rick Overton in a movie, use Rick Overton. You know, he could have done a lot more in the film.
And him and Kevin Pollak are two guys that I can't be around without having them do Sean Connery.
Right. And they're willing to do it every time.
And Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken,
I can't function.
How many times have you asked Pollak to do Sean Connery?
I've never asked Pollak to do Sean Connery. It's always Christopher
Walken.
He's Walken.
He's
the Walken guy.
I do want to say something to your comment about the first-time director thing. I feel like we've gotten to a point where no movie can be perfect. And so it's kind of refreshing when you can see a film that's sort of tattered around the edges a little bit, or not everything, you know, but it's still, like you said, an original story and concept and kind of a fresh new idea. So I think we could stand to use more of that. Not that I don't love blockbuster films, and you know, but like shit like this is.
But it was
a
fun, absurd movie, and I'm glad it was made, because you know it wasn't the kind of thing no big studio is going to fund a movie like this. And
it's actually it's this type of premise is well suited for a first time director,
right?
Yeah. You know,
and an indie distributor and all that stuff. Now, I saw it on demand, but you had said it's actually getting a limited theatrical release, too.
It does have a limited theatrical release. So it is. If anyone wants to check it out, I mean, see it if you can.
It's, yeah, so you have a choice. You can either go to the theater or see it at home. So it was fun, and it was exactly – it was as advertised. You know, whatever what you saw in the trailer, that's what the movie was like. But the good thing about it was that – it wasn't the kind of thing, oh, all the best parts and all the best jokes are in the trailer. Yeah. They're not. There's a lot more in the
movie.
That's
cool.
So,
well, we'll try
to
get Nick on the show to talk about it.
Yeah, definitely. He does a good job in it, too.
Let's talk about patty cakes, Mr.
Yeah,
Avery.
Let's do it. Patty cakes.
What is going on in your life?
This is about a lady rapper, correct?
It is about a lady rapper. It's about a young 23-year-old who lives in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And is
now based on a true story or not based on a true story?
I don't think it's based on a true story.
Okay.
I mean, of course it is. How many rappers have this sort of story? But you know, she's rapper. She's very good at it. But you know, she's struggling with her real life circumstance. You know, she lives with her mom, who's sort of like a former singer back in her day and kind of just a drunk now, and they're barely keeping her grandmother alive, who's kind of sick but just living with, you know, that thing. And it's about this young lady's kind of struggle to, she idolizes this one rapper, and so kind of she's just working and trying to get out of New Jersey and make it as a rapper. And she's got this friend Jerry, who's this South Asian guy who works at a pharmacy near her, and he kind of is that guy who sings the hooks on all the songs. He looks ridiculous, but then when you and he even kind of sounds ridiculous at first, and then when you hear him in the music, it's like, oh, I see, okay, this is, you know. And she's great. And
Kevin, can I interrupt you for a second?
Sure.
I just noticed that Brenton was texting. I just wanted to make sure we were still recording. Okay.
I'm glad. You were worried it was like a panic text,
right?
Like the cord went down.
One drop of sweat coming down.
Oh, dude, can I get a water too? Sorry.
But
that won't be edited out.
I'm not. Why would you do that?
No way.
This is gold.
This is the reality of.
I'm good. I have one right here. Thanks. Okay. But if you have like a cheese plate, any kind of charcuterie, bring that up.
Thank you.
But,
you have a hand-spun hummus. Yeah. Could you bring that and a tapenade?
And where's the chocolate fountain? Come on, guys. For Christ's sakes.
I think that's the first time we've used the word tapenade on the show.
Yeah, it is. It is. Over 400 episodes, that's the first one. Mark it. First ever tapenade.
Oh,
and chocolate fountain. I think I want to say that.
Chocolate fountain, my rap name. incidentally. But it's I loved it. And part of that is because I used to be a rapper myself.
I'm sorry.
I feel like we talked about this before.
Have we?
I don't. Well, here's
it feels
thing.
Like a tapenade to me.
Well, I I mean, I used to be fancy myself an MC, and
your actual name was.
It was. It was Kevy Ray Supreme. And then
if there's a God in heaven, there's video of this on the internet. If there is a sweet baby Jesus that lives
I'm sure there's not. I don't know. There is a video somewhere. I don't know. I don't know where to find it.
In a vault in Langley somewhere.
Locked in a vault somewhere.
We need to get a hold of this.
I think it's probably Area 51 type of shit.
Type like 9mm.
Sealed away.
Type. Okay.
Yeah.
Million-dollar reward to anyone who can bring this.
If I find it, do I get the $1 million?
Yes.
Oh, sweet. See you next week, guys. But yeah, it was Kevy Ray Supreme. That was because you had back in the day, it was just my
back
name
in the rap
and my
day. Go ahead.
Initials. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kevin Randolph Avery. So some girl came up with this, Kevy Ray. And then, but you kind of had to have a title too.
Who
like
came
Grand
up
Master
with Supreme?
And, That was me.
Oh, nice.
I was into the Transformers at the time.
Oh, so Omega
Supreme.
So
like Optimus Prime, Omega Supreme, all right. So I was Kevy Ray Supreme. There you
this
go.
Is, yeah.
What age was Kevy
this
Ray
was
Supreme?
This was 80s. This had to be 80s.
Oh, God. 14? Younger, I think, because I was going to, I was at Disneyland or Disney World when I wrote like my first rhyme. And I was like a child. I wrote it on the tram.
The mean streets of Disney was really inspiring.
Look,
you to
Mickey. Look, Mickey Mouse was hardcore. Okay, Disney streets is real.
God, you must have seen some shit on those trams.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Man, yeah, old lady getting sick, dehydrated. You know, baby crying wouldn't stop.
Sounds like the reason why you just left Manhattan.
Yeah. So,
anyway, Kevy Ray Supreme.
Kevy Ray Supreme, and then we shortened it to Kevy Ray, and then it just became K Ray. And by the time it was K Ray, I was in the singing group. I was in the boy band. And so I went from rapper to boy band guy.
You were in a boy band?
I was in a boy band. Yeah, I had a whole thing. For a while, I was going down music alley.
You were going down comedy. You just didn't know it.
Yeah, you're right. Shaping my future act.
You were wholeheartedly into comedy, just unknowingly.
Voice in the back of my head while I'm singing, this is going to be hilarious in 15 years. So I really identified with this. I mean, I didn't struggle and come up in New Jersey, but the idea of kind of everyone, all of them trying to kind of escape and become who they really are.
Was it like shades of like a female 8 Mile kind of?
It was a little bit, except it felt, I love 8 Mile, but 8 Mile compared to this almost felt a little bit more by the numbers in terms of that type of story.
Right.
And I don't mean to say that 8 Mile is just some cookie cutter kind of thing, because I don't think it is. I really loved 8 Mile. But this almost felt, I mean, there were shades of that. It's hard to tell this type of story and go where it goes and not kind of have that sort of, and then this happens, and then, you know. But it really was kind of refreshing, and it was the characters and the kind of push and pull on what this girl, I succeed, and then, oh, we're going to take this shit away. And you're watching her kind of have a victory, another victory, and then suddenly, bam, she's thrown back. Like, it was just, I enjoyed the script. I enjoyed the story so much. Her performance, the woman is Danielle McDonald, and she's great in it. She's been around. She's done a few things. But this Bridget Everett, who plays her mom, is also pretty great. And I feel like she's only been in she's been in some stuff. It's I'm going to butcher this guy's name, but the guy who plays Jerry, Siddharth, Kevy Ray Supreme. Siddharth Kevy Ray Supreme. Donenjay, I believe, is his name. And I think he's relatively like new to the scene.
Right.
But everyone's really great in it, and the performances are kind of fun. And
again, kind of a first time director. This guy, Jeremy Jasper, according to his IMDb, has just done a couple of shorts. This is his first feature. But yeah, so you liked it. It's been a fairly, not a fully wide release, but I'm seeing it in enough places.
Well, a lot of people have been talking about this Danielle McDonald woman, and who does a great job in it. And she, I don't know if someone wrote shit for her and then she just learned how to perform it really well, or if she can actually freestyle, if she could really rap. But she sounds amazing. Mm-hmm. And the hats off to her or whoever the lyricist is, because she sounds great. And it's a fun movie. It's sort of gut punching sometimes, you know. And
there's some serious moments to it.
It's the comedy is great because it really is born. And maybe this sounds like a cliche to say, but it's really born out of a lot of the situations that this woman finds herself in and what she does and stuff. It's not slapstick or kind of, it's not goofy, but yeah, it's great. I would highly recommend it.
All right. Patty Cakes.
Excellent.
So I saw Gifted.
Yeah, this is that Chris Evans movie, right?
This is the Chris Evans movie that came out. I was wanting to see that when it came into the theater, and I just didn't get a chance. And then last night I was like, I got to go see something. And there's this documentary I want to see called Serve Like a Girl about women combat vets and what they have to deal with. The movie times didn't line up, and it wasn't anywhere online, so Gift that I actually watched. It is available on iTunes. So I rented it. It came out in April of this year. It's directed by Mark Webb and written by Tom Flynn. And it's a nice, heartfelt little movie. Mm-hmm. If you remember so it basically, Chris Evans
gets custody of
This girl because his sister passed away, and mm-hmm. he's been looking after his niece mm-hmm. for whatever, 6 or 7 years.
Right.
And she's this very, she's a gifted kid. She's a genius. That's established early on. And the movie opens basically with her, like, she's 7, and it's like, you got to go to school now. And she's like, I don't want to. And he's like, I can't homeschool you. You're just too smart. And then that unravels this whole thing of the grandmother wanting to get involved.
That's a conversation a lot of homeschool parents should have.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's like, and there's some really good stuff. It's Chris Evans. And then Lindsay Duncan plays his mom. The girl's, McKenna Grace plays the daughter, and Lindsay Duncan plays the British. She's British, and so she's very much like, this girl needs to be in a top school surrounded by tutors. Mm. And so it's sort of that, I mean, it's that classic thing that we've seen in many movies before. I mean, Good Will Hunting, like, you know, the arguments that Robin Williams would have with Skarsgård about, well, if you push him too hard, he's going to snap, and, well, he needs to be pushed, and that whole debate. And, you know, I have a couple friends that have some, like, seriously gifted kids, and it is a thing, because the interact, like, you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes with gifted kids, and from what I understand, of just, like, you know, if they're not pushed enough, then they don't accelerate. But if they push too hard, like, there's all these things that can happen to where the kid, you know, is in a very fragile time.
The other thing that happens is they get bored, and then they hate school too.
Right. They're not being challenged enough. So if they're not being challenged enough, they're completely bored. If they're push, they snap. You know,
right. Like, then it's too much stress on them.
Right. Then it's too much stress. So it's like, what's the best for the kid? And there's just some wonderful scenes in there with Octavia Spencer and
Chris Evans.
Chris Evans, you know, this is, I've always said this about Chris Evans. He's really proven that he's a good actor.
Well, this is also kind of Mark Webb's wheelhouse, not Spider-Man. This is, his wheelhouse is more relationships and human interactions. Mm-hmm. I mean, he did 500 Days of Summer,
which I love, which is a great movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's decent writing. There's a couple little, like, this is me totally nitpicking. It's a fine film, and you'll probably enjoy it. But there's a couple little cliche moments that kind of unravel a little bit, and a couple moments where you're like, that this feels like this was wedged in there just to push this plot point.
This is a focus group plot point.
Yeah, or something like that. Or somebody just said, well, you got to have this. And it's like, is that realistic? Who cares? It has to go in the movie. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's not so...
It's not so glaring.
No, it's not glaring. It's not egregious. It didn't. It just sort of took me out briefly. But then, and the you know, the girl and Chris Evans, McKenna Grace and Chris Evans have wonder. I mean, it's very. She's a fantastic young little actress, and it's very believable their relationship, because he's not the dad. I mean, he is, but he's still the uncle. He's Uncle Frank.
Right.
So she's just like, Frank. You know, she talks to him. You know,
she doesn't say dad.
No, she doesn't say dad.
Yeah.
And. Yeah, it resonated with me, because I've always, as an uncle, like, God forbid something were to happen to my nieces or nephews' parents, I would be taking care of them, and how would that shake out, you know?
You would make them call you Frank.
They would call me Frank.
I feel like there's a screenplay we need to get to write.
all my nieces and nephews would be trading in the samurai arts. it's a really cool little film. And
does she find his shield?
Yeah, she finds a shield, and there's Uptanium or whatever the fuck.
Uptanium?
How dare you? Uptanium. Wait, isn't it Unobtanium?
Unobtanium, that's Avatar.
Oh, God. Oh.
Unobtanium.
It's Vibranium.
Yes.
Jesus. From Wakanda.
Yes. So they do find Vibranium from Wakanda, and that's how she gets her own. That's how she wins the court case. No, it's and this is the thing. I've seen Chris Evans do these smaller parts in these indie movies, and I always respect when big-name actors do this stuff. And it's why I get frustrated when I see an A-list actor just do crappy action movie after, like, Scarlett Johansson, I'm talking directly to you. You're a fine actress.
This is weird. I don't know why we haven't spoken to her the whole time.
She asked not to speak.
Yeah.
But no, like, she's a fine actress, and maybe she's...
Yeah, career in the shell.
Yeah, God, man. What are you... Like, why are you leaving to do these other things? Chris Evans doesn't need to do Gifted.
No.
No, and he could do a bunch of dumb rom-coms or a bunch in just fight-em-up action movies, but instead he goes, no, I want to do this heartfelt movie that has all this great supporting actors in it, a great script, a nice director, and it's like, wow. Yeah. And he can do this in between the Marvel Universe.
Right.
And it's really cool.
Well, I mean, I really root for a guy like, I mean, he doesn't need me rooting for, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I enjoy seeing him in this type of thing. I enjoy, that's why I like, what's the Magic Mike? Who's the guy?
Channing Tatum.
Mm-hmm. Because I feel like that guy could have very easily been sort of the 80s or 90s-esque action. Like, those guys could have easily gone down that road, of what you're saying, just kind of act, just blockbuster after blockbuster. But I feel like they kind of say, let's do something different. And Channing Tatum shows up in some shit that you're like, how does he?
I know.
Not looking like himself, kind of. And it's always kind of fun to watch them do this. And another guy who I kind of want to see in more stuff, and I can't remember what he's done, but Hemsworth, Thor.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who, it's funny to watch him in these Marvel movies, and he's very funny. Like, his timing is just, he's not just this sort of meat-headed action.
Well, that's a great point. Know. Like, when he was in Ghostbusters, the dumb, good-looking guy in Ghostbusters, he was hilarious in that.
Yeah.
And he wasn't playing badass.
Yeah. It's nice to see these guys. They look like they're having fun doing the thing they're doing. Whether it's good, whether it's not so good, but they're out there doing it. And they're usually very good when they step away from the hammer and the shield and the vibranium.
And cool, you know, there's also, like, Jenny Slate's in it. She has a nice little part. You know, she was in Landline. We had the Sklar brothers on the show a couple weeks back talking about her performance in that, which is good.
So they dated from this movie for a year, and then they broke up.
Yeah.
With the Sklar brothers?
Yeah, they dated and
Jenny
broke up.
Slate.
The weirdest relationship.
Hold on a second, guys. How is that not the podcast? Yeah. You're talking about movies the whole time?
So Jenny Slate is, I think she's going to be, you know, she's having a fine career, and I think we're going to maybe see more of her. We're going to see, you know, she did Zootopia, Secret Life of Pets, and I think she's going to start to kind of come up as more of a...
She's like an indie darling right now.
Yeah, she's starting to be kind of an indie darling, and I think she's going to... I think, you know, we could see a little Brie Larson out of her, you know, like she could get some big, solid...
Breakout role.
Some breakout role, like...
on a big movie.
The Room, and then, or something like that, so it was cool to watch. So I these are all, you know, fine little... Since we're sort of in this dead spot of...
Yeah.
The summer's kind of dying, and we're going to get some dumping ground films before we ramp into Oscars.
I would
check out all these indie movies.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, like I said, I don't remember August being that dead zone before. I remember there being more summer blockbustery type movies all the way through the end of August.
I think there were several summers in a row where there was just overwhelmingly blockbuster superhero. Like, every weekend there was a new blockbuster. And
right.
I think the studios went, ooh, and that's why they're spreading them out. That's why, like, Thor, like, Ragnarok is in November.
Yeah, like, Logan came out much earlier in the year.
Yeah. Logan came out earlier. Mm. And I think they just got scared and spread it out.
But everyone did it. It seemed like everyone did it at once and forgot about the end of August.
It's really weird. Yeah, August used to be like, we got one more for you.
Right, yeah.
Like, one more just... slammed up, you know, be like, oh yeah, but no, it's the good thing about this is if this is a trend that continues, we could see more very good, very sharp indie films kind of rising up and in the tail end of the summer movie season, which would be kind of cool. And you know,
I love it. I mean, we talked about Wind River, I believe, last week. That's a really solid movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then to hear like what you guys said about Patty Cakes and Dave Made a Maze, and it's really like, okay. This is, I hope that's the trend, Kevin.
Yeah.
I hope that
would be great.
Because we talked about it too on the show, like Dunkirk is a big budget, but it's an Oscar movie. I mean, this is a film that is going to get nominations.
Right.
And if they're going to start sneaking those in the summer, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
I'm all for it. Definitely. And spread out the Cape movies.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
Because there's, you know, it used to be you'd get one a year, then it was two. Now we're getting literally four or five, you know, giant superhero movies.
And they
movies
put them all
year.
In a 10-week span, and it was right. It was too much. But
yeah,
if they're
definitely.
Spreading
yeah.
them out, it's...
I mean, I was looking at the lineup for the fall yesterday, and I saw, I think... not that Star Wars is a Cape movie, but it's Star Wars.
Right.
Star Wars capes. And Justice. Oh, they do. You're right. Robes, really? I think more of a cloak movie. But they.
What's your favorite cloak movie?
I'm really more into kimono
the
films.
The Shadow.
But it's like Star Wars, The Last Jedi, and then 2 weeks later or 2 weeks before, it's Justice League.
Mm.
Maybe mm. even a week after or before. It's something weirdly
one of those I'm really on. Excited about.
Mm. Well, I'm not gonna
because you've try got
to guess
got,
which one that seems like it would cause a headache. I
yes,
don't know which one you're talking about?
And you've got Thor coming out this fall too.
I love Thor.
Yeah.
Let me say this too. Chris and I are still would love to go to Australia and see Jedi 36 hours before everybody else. If there's anyone out there that wants to pay for it like last time, we are all for it. We'll set up we'll do a midnight screening. We'll do a 3 a.m. It might be our 400th.
With Steel Saunders.
I got to be honest with you. I think it'll be our 400th episode.
I did wow. listen to that on the subway platform.
Nice.
I remember waiting for the F train, listening to it, and being so envious, just going, you know what?
It was one of
so mad. Oh man, that was exciting.
That is the single greatest. That is the best single event as a result of podcasting.
Yeah,
and earbuds is the coolest overall thing of podcasting. But the fact that literally
that we've experienced
that,
that sounded
so fun. That
it was
so exciting,
yeah. so great. There was a couple moments where Chris and I were like, we might not
make it out of this alive.
We were like, we flew across the country, had like a 2 hour nap, then we're on TV.
Yeah.
Wow.
Then, like, when
oh,
the,
yeah. Yes, I remember that.
Yeah. It
oh
was insane.
God, that's
it was
right.
Crazy.
Then we had to, you know, go get on a bus and
yeah.
then get to the theater. And then, like, okay, it's a midnight screening. And then the podcast is after. We were up for, like, it had to be like 2 days.
And then
straight.
I had tech problems to post the episode. I was just.
You
like,
were about ready to throw
I
something.
Was just
yeah.
like,
yeah.
I'm running yeah. around Melbourne trying to find a good Wi-Fi
yeah.
connection.
Which in Australia, not as easy to find as you would think.
I remember that. It was the next wow. day that I finally got the episode posted, and then I like took a fucking 6 hour nap, and then we ran into each other. And you, I remember you just said, "This has been great, but I don't know if I'm. I don't think. I'm at the right age."
Oh yeah, I think I said this was a trip for a younger man.
Yeah, how'd you get back to your kids? I mean, what the hell did you just go?
He flew back early. I had
and
a
I had to fly
days.
Back early because I had family God. Coming into town.
I was like, "Are you dude. Sure?" He goes like, "Oh, I got family." I go,
yeah,
"I had a couple days and went surfing." He was like,
"Yeah, I had family coming in from the East Coast." I'm like, "Oh my God, I got to literally turn around from Australia like 2 days later."
Wait. And I had and I had flown back from China 6 days prior. I got back from China, not a lot of jet lag on that flight, and
yeah.
then went to Australia to see a movie at midnight.
Wow.
It was the craziest like 2 weeks of my life.
Yeah, man, that's yeah, worth it still.
The best.
Yes.
I would do it again, and we want to come back. So
yeah.
whoever wants to
it
pay
so
for us to come
fun.
Out, we'll do it.
Just go, if you're paying for these guys, just include me in that one, guys. just whatever you got
to
do.
Kevin would love to join us.
And we had like C.J. Johnson came in from Sydney, and then we were going to have Dean Haglund come in from Sydney, but he got grounded due to the weather. Like, we flew
weather.
In from L.A., Jesus. And you couldn't get there from Sydney.
Couldn't get an hour flight? Couldn't get a commuter?
Wither.
So it was,
that's how they
it was
say
weather.
It, Chris. I don't know yes. if you've ever been to Australia
yeah.
before. But,
So, all right. So now we have our Patreon
hey!
Ad. We have Frightfully Uninformed. We are a podcast that watches mostly classic horror movies to figure out horror movie fandom. FrightfullyUninformed.com. And this is our $50 ad tier for the Patreon level. And if, like we said, if you do $50, the ad tier, we will mention your name and website every single episode.
So one of you emailed us through the Facebook page and said, I had the $50 tier, but I emailed you guys. I wanted to change the name and you never got back to me. So let me make this perfectly clear.
Okay.
Email us on Patreon for Patreon stuff. Okay. Like we would gladly do that, but like we can't check all of these emails, the Twitter, and like it's like I tagged you on Instagram. Why didn't you respond? Like it's a Patreon piece of business. Just email us or email us
via Patreon.
Via Patreon. That's the best way. We have to keep it all in one place because
right.
Patreon does a fine job of like.
We're scattered all over the internet.
All over the goddamn internet. So you got to help us out here. I mean, an email at info@comedyfilmnerds.com is also helpful, but through Patreon because Patreon categorizes each tier. And they break it down, and you can email us. So please do that because of just.
I love like, when Graham sits the audience down for a talk.
Yes,
everybody have a seat. Everybody take a knee. Could you take a knee back there? Just love these.
Take a knee is appropriate. It's from my high school football days.
What,
when a coach said take a knee, it was like everybody be quiet.
There you go, and don't sit on your helmet.
Was it this one?
You take a damn knee.
Take a knee.
Was it this one that needed to be changed, or was it a different one?
No. It was a different person.
Oh, it was a different company. Okay.
A different person. A different guy was like, I signed up for the $50 level, but I wanted to change the name to this, and no one got back to me, so I'm out.
Oh,
and I'm
boy.
Just like, come
oh,
on,
brother.
Just, right. You know what I mean?
Well, here's our chance to say, come on back.
Come on back.
Come on back and email us through Patreon,
through
and we'll set you up.
Patreon.
We're not going to turn it down.
No. Of course we would do that.
Yes.
You just have to communicate it correctly.
Yes, please. Help us help you.
Yeah. All right. Everybody up off the knee. We're going to do wind sprints.
Yeah.
Laps.
All right. Then it's squats.
Oh, squats.
But we want to thank all you guys for the support. And,
yes.
And like I said, if there's any queries or comments or changes, email us through Patreon. We will set you up. If we got through the Kickstarter rewards, we can get through the Patreon occasional tiers, issues with the tiers. But yes, don't let that discourage you.
Take a knee.
All right, knee up. Okay,
knee up.
So let's talk about some movie trailers we saw. Last Flag Flying. This is the Richard Linklater movie about three grizzled vets played by Steve Carell, Bryan Cranston, and Lawrence Fishburne, who one of their sons is killed in action, and they, instead of having him buried in Arlington, they want to take the body home.
Right.
And it looks like just one of those, you got to bring your handkerchief too.
Yeah.
Or a box of tissues because it really looks like it's gonna move you.
And again, going back to like people getting out of like Steve Carell, I love what he's doing, you know,
yep.
with Foxcatcher, with The Big Short.
Except
and now,
Despicable Me, but go ahead.
No, but yeah. But I'm just saying like again, like we could put comedians in the same category as action stars.
Yes.
He could be just
yeah.
doing
yeah,
wacky
yeah.
Steve Carell movies for the rest of
yep.
time. But he's really trying to do like serious acting stuff,
right?
And I love what again, Foxcatcher and The Big Short are really good movies.
You could say the same about Cranston, even though he's
oh,
not
yeah.
a stand-up. But you know, Cranston really made.
I mean, he was in Malcolm in the Middle.
Malcolm
in
the Middle
funny.
Was sort of, I guess that was his breakout thing. I mean,
yeah,
he'd been
for
around
sure.
doing stuff, but like, he could have easily gone down wacky lane,
right?
And
right.
But you know, we all know what he's become.
A meth dealer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah,
and he gets killed by Godzilla.
Yeah. That's right.
No, but it's really cool. It's like to see these three guys, and Cranston is playing like a train wrecky drunk.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Carell is
just,
the morning dad. And
Richard Linklater directing just makes it all kind of come together, especially in the trailer.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to this movie. It looks really good and heartfelt. And I love the fact that Richard Linklater will ground the performances,
mm-hmm.
so there won't be anything wacky or crazy or over the top.
Yeah.
But even if there is a scene kind of like that, if a character loses it, it'll still always feel grounded because that's what he does.
Yeah, I also like, Lawrence Fishburne in this. I think sometimes we forget that he is also a dude who's like a heavy hit. I mean, you know,
he's
had
a solid
an interesting
actor.
Career. And so you're looking at these three guys together, and I think, and they're all very different and kind of, you know, various backgrounds that sort of brought them to this place in their careers. But, yeah, I mean, I'm kind of excited to see the three of these.
They have really good chemistry together, too,
yeah.
for guys that you've never seen together before.
It's a weird pairing on
yeah.
paper. You'd be like,
uh-huh.
wait, what? But
yeah.
you see this trailer and you go, yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, they're three solid actors.
Well, right away when I saw, before you even see Lawrence Fishburne in the trailer, I saw, you see Carell and Cranston, and you're like, yes, of course. It, to me, I just think that is something that probably already should have happened.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, at least it feels like it should have happened.
Right.
I don't know, but I'm just like, fuck yeah, I want to see these guys together doing their thing, mm-hmm. you know. So,
I'm
all right. And the next trailer is Death Note. This continues the streaming system that will not be named, continuing to make terrible feature films. and great
this
TV
looks
series.
Great.
Yeah. Now, this is based on a...
I stand alone. I completely stand alone. The room fell silent when I said that. Even Scarlett Johansson frowned.
And I'll tell you...
She never frowned.
It's amazing how sometimes talented people can make bad movies for Netflix. Like, this is Adam Wingard that directed this movie. This is, you know, The Guest. This and You're Next. Like that kind of genre filmmaking.
He directed You're Next?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that movie.
So, but he's like a guy that understands genre filmmaking. Mm-hmm. Like, this is like, oh, this kind of makes sense to have him do it. What doesn't make sense is like, you know, movies are, and projects, they're in specific mediums. This is an anime project that has been, you know, I'm sure in development for a long time. And you see like a live action version of it, and it already like doesn't quite work. And there's a reason, because maybe it works because it was anime.
Yeah.
And then I think Willem Dafoe as the Death God, hilarious.
Well, okay, here's the thing about this movie. The trailer, at first, it looks like your standard fare type of, you know, Candyman type of thriller. Or what was the one where they all the kids die, they cheated death, and so they were all dying one by one. Like, it felt like that.
Cabin in the Woods?
No, not Cabin in the Woods. The other
Final Destination.
Oh, Final Destination.
This is the nine of those movies that have been made. Yeah.
It did feel
each
a
one
little
more
bit like...
inaccurately named than the last.
Yeah. Yes. Right?
They're
this
taking
is the
one
final
step.
Final Destination.
No, next time. Yeah. We'll yeah. All right.
But it started off feeling like
it's
that.
Like, the Final Destination is like dealing with an alcoholic. Yeah. Never on time, this always guy. Changing yeah. dates.
And on always going, this time, this, guys, this, I swear. Yeah. This
I
is
swear
it.
To God.
This is the last time.
I'm never going to deal with this again.
But it felt like that type of thing at first, and then it looked like they were trying to do something bigger and make it about something else and kind of.
Because the premise is, you know, you get this book. You write a name in the book, and then that person dies. Mm-hmm. That's the death
note.
That's
a standard horror movie type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then it
may
was
as well
like,
be a puzzle box.
Yeah, but then it's all about, it sort of takes on this global thing, it looked like, and there's another.
Some ninjas having a press conference.
There's a guy, yeah, so shout out to Lakeith Stanfield, who is great in everything. I mean, that's Snoop in Straight Outta Compton, right. and he's in Atlanta and stuff. It was kind of all over the place. It's hard to figure out, well, what is this going to be?
Right.
I'm very curious.
The fact that it's on a unnamed streaming service that does come into my television. That sounded creepy how I phrased it, but yes. that I can watch this basically at home for free I was like, oh, this looks awesome. And right as I was about to say that, you guys were like, boo, and we were watching this. And I was like, oh, man.
Well, then, you know what?
Here's
the thing. You watch it and tell us what you think of it.
I'm going to watch it.
Yeah. Watch the shit out of it.
I'm going to watch so shit fucking watch this thing.
You
I'm going to
watch this movie so fucking hard.
Oh, God. I'm going to so stream this. Oh, I'm going to watch it.
It's going to punch you right in your eyeballs.
It's better.
Here's the thing about this. I feel like if I went home and then was flipping around Netflix, and I started watching this, like, oh, this shit. And then I started watching it. I wouldn't turn it off. Like, 2 hours would go by, and I would have watched the whole movie like, oh, all right. So I don't know. I can't tell. I don't – it looks like your classic Netflix. I'm on the couch, and I ain't moving type affair.
Yeah, and just passable. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it needs to just be like 2 1/3 stars to me.
Right.
Go, all right. It's almost colored in 3 stars.
Yeah. What if it's great?
Didn't quite waste my time.
See, that's my thing, Kevin. I'm watching this trailer going, this might be awesome.
I love movies like that where you're like, this is clearly going to suck. And then you get a call. You have to go see this movie now. Like the, I live for that type of thing.
And honestly, I love the premise. I love that there's a book out there. I believe that this
is
the
premise.
True story.
I mean, this is why the anime is so popular, is because of the premise. I mean, it's like a worldwide phenomenon.
And I love the moral dilemma that we see in the trailer of, if I could kill anybody, oh, I could right some wrongs. I could I could take out a drug cartel. I could take out human trafficking. I could do whatever.
That's where the trailer turns. There's a moment where he's talking to this woman, and she goes, "You're going to get rid of some criminals or something like that." And he's like, "We can get rid of all the criminals." And it's like, okay, well, this is a bigger thing than just six kids, and they little by little start killing each other, you know. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
And there's a Ferris wheel.
And a Ferris wheel? Come on.
And there's a crazy... And it's like Liam Neeson when he was the tree for the boy or whatever, that movie that just came out. That's what William Defoe...
That's Willem Dafoe is as the porcupine death god.
Yeah.
I forgot about the... I keep forgetting about the death god guy. That's a little weird.
Is it, though? So we we believe the book that has this powers, but then the porcupine death god.
That's
is like,
a bit much. You know what it is? When you hear Willem Dafoe's voice, and then I just picture him with that green mask on. Yeah. Even with the porcupine head, I'm like, well, that's the green goblin. What are you doing?
He's gonna fly in on that jetpack. All right.
Pretty awesome if that.
Okay. So,
all right. You know. Well, this might go in your queue. Check it out.
If it's another, it looks like it's going to be.
It's another.
Yeah, it's another shitbag week of in theaters. So this is what I'll be covering next week.
Maybe we'll do a spoiler up on it then.
Oh, dude,
see, now you're starting to convince me.
Yeah, Kevin, because
if you like,
you
want to
come back for a spoiler
on Death Note?
I would love to. I have to make sure
let's
can.
Let's talk schedule.
Skip out of work.
All right.
Hell yeah.
Well, all right. All right.
I'm home and watch it tonight. When the hell? Is it out now?
Yeah.
Shit.
Oh.
All right. I think we just
hatched a Death Note spoiler plan has been hatched.
All right. Oh, so God help you all.
Yep. Uh-huh. If we all get in the same room together and talk about it at the same time, does the death porcupine, death god show up?
Yeah, does the book fall from the sky?
Just Willem Dafoe, no costume. He just shows up. Hey, fellas.
Yeah, thanks for watching my movie.
Good to be here.
I was Nosferatu.
Yeah. I don't know why we're making him sound like some longshoreman.
I don't know
why.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Willem Dafoe.
Oh, man.
All right, what else? What else we got going on here?
I'm just thinking of Willem Dafoe now.
You should.
Yeah.
He's a shithead. Ha ha, DLM
my
shout out.
Favorite, one of my favorite internet memes is, why do I have to call it an internet meme? Am I 80? Is Bell Biv Dafoe. A picture of him, and I think he's replacing Mike Bivens' face or something like that.
I love it.
I just always think of that when I think of him.
So... Now we have for DVDs and Blu-ray only one big release, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Yeah, if you didn't get a chance to see it in the theaters, I feel bad for you because the movie was a lot of fun, but still see it.
Check it out for sure.
And maybe if you loved it in the theaters, now this is your chance to get some bonus features.
And don't see it on an airplane. You will do yourself a disservice by seeing it on an airplane.
Crazy big screen.
It deserves a bigger screen.
Why would you? No, wait, when does this come out in...
The episode will get released later today.
Because I just downloaded something literally before I came here.
What?
Wonder Woman.
Oh.
That's out today.
Really? Mm. Oh. Mm-hmm. Then let's update that. Wonder Woman. Which is also, they're both still in theaters.
Yeah.
Both movies you can still see in theaters.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. Wonder Woman is for sure.
You can still see Spider-Man in the theater. That's weird that there are three, you're right, three capes at once. It was a bit much.
Still going.
But I love it. Eat that shit up.
All right.
So.
Woman and the Guardians.
And we also have the site spotlight and the fan feedback. There's more weekly film news for you. And also the Patreon. We did an extra episode. We talked about Marvel's Defenders on the streaming service.
So you got two bonus episodes today on Patreon this month. If you're a Patreon backer.
We're trying to up the value of the tiers for you guys to give you more for your money.
And speaking of fan feedback, emailed us through Patreon. It is possible. Rob Hill emailed us on Patreon, which is the place we prefer you to email us when you're talking about Patreon business. He goes, "Hey, guys, wanted to share a short film I submitted. I stumbled across that I think you may like, and I would like to get your opinion on it. It's 20 minutes, and after watching it, I want to see what a feature film version of this would look like. It's called... Seam, S-E-A-M, and it's futuristic sci-fi short. You can watch it free or on Vimeo here at seamfilm.com/film. And if you hate it, feel free to call me out as having terrible taste, but I think you'll enjoy it. Cheers, fellas. Keep doing great work." That's from Rob Hill. See how easy it is to email us on Patreon.
Wait, where can you find this movie?
It's called Seam, S-E-A-M, film.com.
All right. Did you watch
Seam
it?
Film.com.
I have not watched it.
Oh, all right. Well, then we'll go check it out.
But I'm giving the movie a
They just got a shout out and a plug. I wanted to mention this about, as you guys know, we launched the new podcast, Conversations from the Abyss, with in the first episode about a single woman who tries to sell her soul to the devil with Jane Edith Wilson and Rick Overton. I wanted to mention this because this made me laugh, is the iTunes, just the way they track stuff. Like, I've only promoted the show so far on this podcast. So when I went to Conversations from the Abyss and you click on Listeners Also Listen To, there's only one show that showed up, and it was How Did This Get Made? So I'm like, how is this? How does this tracking? And then it, a couple of days later, it corrected to the, then it went Comedy Film Nerds and then all of the other podcasts like Nerds and stuff. But it was weird. It was like that's just, you know, iTunes tracking stuff. But I want to thank you guys too. We've gotten some great reviews already. If you haven't checked it out already, please check it out and leave a nice review. Clive Barker gave us a retweet on the show. It was really cool to get a Clive Barker retweet on the show.
Mm-hmm. Was his retweet like creepy?
It was nice and creepy.
Okay,
and,
good.
Yeah, and even,
I want everything he does to be
yeah,
creepy.
and it was even, it sounded nice, but it just coming from Clive Barker, it was like, from our friends at Comedy Film Nerds, check this out. I was like, oh.
I feel like he's whispering across the back of my neck. When he
that probably sounded more like Willem Dafoe than our
impression.
Not reverse. So please check out Conversations from the Abyss, now Clive Barker approved.
Oh, all right.
Fancy pants.
Yeah.
You can also listen to the Political Vigilante podcast, which is now on iTunes. How about that?
Yes.
That's fun.
Definitely subscribe to that as well. How long are your podcasts?
You know, I basically just, I let GarageBand run while I'm recording the videos.
Mm-hmm.
And my videos are anywhere, usually by, you know, right around the 7 to 10 minute range. So I'll just stack like 3 or 4 of them together, depending on how I record. So the show's anywhere from like 15 to 40 some minutes.
So one podcast is like 3 or 4 videos?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So you can, I just wanted to give people a different option to consume it. And also if, you know, just to also find new followers like through iTunes.
Right.
I don't know.
And if you want to comment on an email you through Facebook?
Yeah, put a message in a bottle.
Everybody take a knee. Take a knee one more time. We have to get this right. Scarlett, you too. Take a knee. Everyone take a knee. Oh, man.
Yeah, send me something in the most obscure internet way possible. All right.
Let's see. So we also have premiering this week, I Do Until I Don't is another indie movie about marriage and the foibles of marriage. Okay. And it is a Lake Bell passion project written, directed, and starring Lake Bell.
All right.
So I haven't heard that much about this film. I don't know that much about it. But again, it's another empty release weekend, so you can catch up on some of these other films.
Yeah.
Here's a couple movies I would recommend just from seeing trailers, which is, again, it's called Served Like a Girl. It has a limited release.
When you called me and said you were seeing this, I swear I thought you said Surf Like a Girl.
Surf Like a Girl. You started laughing, and I was like, I don't know why this title is funny.
Yeah.
But the trailer for it is really interesting, Served Like a Girl. It's about female combat vets rotating back and trying to integrate into life in the States. And I'm going to try to see it. It looks very intriguing because they're like, hey, I served overseas too. Mm-hmm. I've got PTSD. I've got a prosthetic. And they feature maybe like 4 or 5 women.
Mm-hmm.
And one woman says in the trailer, she goes, I came to my VA and was having trouble. And they said, sorry, all our facilities and everything is just for men. And she goes, and that's the day I became homeless.
Wow.
Jesus.
And you're like, wow. So vets are having to deal with enough. And then if you're a female, that's even worse. Like, oh God. So this, and it, I guess there's a, and then there looks like there's some organization in the trailer that's like that's getting female vets and empowering them and all this stuff like this. So it's something it looks to me like everything that's great about documentary filmmaking, and I'm definitely going to see it. So I would recommend that. And then there's also another one called it's about Native Americans in the rock industry, and it's called like Rampage or something like that.
Rock Like a Girl?
Chris. That's
it's close.
Both genders of Native Americans. I forget what it's, but apparently, God, I'm blanking on this title. It's driving me crazy. Brenton, can you try to look this up for me while I'm talking?
We just stopped recording.
It's a Native American rock documentary. We'll get the title in a second. But basically, it's something I didn't know. In the trailer, they're like, many of you, your biggest favorite bands had these like handful of session musicians or just pro musicians that were all Native American.
Oh, wow. Hmm.
And it's called like
Rumble, the Indians Who Rock the World.
Rumble, the Indians Who Rock the World. Yes.
Really? You couldn't remember that title?
Yeah. I know.
Well, there are a lot of
it's amazing I couldn't with you going, rock like a girl, surf like a girl.
Rumble?
Rumble like a girl. So, yeah, that's another doc that looks really interesting. It has a limited release as well. So since we're in kind of a slow week, I would recommend those two movies. They look interesting to me, and I want to go see them.
Can I throw one in here?
Yes.
There's a film called Crown Heights that came out this week.
Oh, yes.
Speaking of the ninja guy in...
Death Note.
It's starring Lakeith Stanfield. Crown Heights. It's a biography.
It's based on a true story, right?
Yeah, yeah. So it's about Colin Warner is wrongfully convicted of murder, and his best friend devotes his life to proving this guy's innocence and getting him out of jail. And it looks amazing. And back when I had a podcast, fellas, Lakeith was one of our guests, and he came on, and I remember him talking about, it was a ways from being out, but I remember him talking about getting this script and looking at it and kind of working on the role and what he was going through to do that, and I was like, oh, all right, well, I'll look out for that one day. And so, and then it came out, I was like, oh, that's the movie he was talking. I don't know why I was surprised, like he was just making it up. The man's a professional actor, right. You know.
Yeah.
But
oh, sounds great.
Yeah, okay, buddy. Good luck.
Making movies is hard, Lakeith. Just like, oh, who's this asshole?
Yeah. So, but he's a brilliantly talented actor. This looks like a great movie, so I would and it's out now. So go see that.
Yeah, that's cool. Right. There's a lot of great little indie movies, guys. It's a wonderful time to go support them, mm-hmm. since they so often are getting drowned out. Obviously, the Cape movies will take 5 of the 12 screens or whatever, yeah. at your multiplex.
And now's the time where they're not getting drowned out because there's a dearth of these big budget movies being released. So now's a good time.
Now's a good time, mm-hmm. to support them. Mm-hmm. And then another great movie to support September 12th is Earbuds, the podcasting documentary.
Yes.
There you go.
Pre-order it on iTunes.
We should do a spoiler app.
On Earbuds, we will do a spoiler up on Earbuds, and we'll drop it on the 12th. It'll be great. We're going to shell it.
Yeah. Here's what I liked about this movie.
I wasn't a fan. Didn't like it. Thought the director was a little windy.
What if you had a guest who saw the movie and they talked about the movie like it wasn't yours? And they just, I didn't care for it. And I don't know what the guys were thinking when they...
These two guys that made it were full of themselves.
Yeah. You know, it's us, right? In a minute. Anyway, what I was saying is that I really felt that they
didn't connect. Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, Earbuds is, you can pre-order it on iTunes.
Yep, the pre-order link is actually up in iTunes right now. You could do it right now.
So that's a great way to support, mm-hmm. the show. And when it goes wide, tell everybody about it.
Yep.
You'll be able to get it on all different platforms.
Except Comedy Film Nerds for 45 days.
Right.
Whoops.
And then, our window.
We didn't read the contract, Chris!
But it'll be available everywhere else.
Don't I? Yeah. I get it.
I didn't want to hire a lawyer, but...
This is fine, right?
Yeah.
Page document. I don't know. It just... Yeah.
I saw my name in caps.
Yeah. Next thing I knew, I sold McDonald's.
All right. I think that's our program. Is
that is. That is everything.
Kevin Avery, where can people find you on the World Wide Web?
Well, I'm at Kevin Avery on Twitter. And I am Kevin Avery Comedy on Instagram.
Nice.
And I have a Facebook fan page, whatever they call those things.
But don't email you there.
Everybody take a knee, really quickly. Do not email me there. No, people send me friend requests, and I'm very skittish now about just adding. I used to just, remember when there was a time you would just click
add
anybody, and now I don't really do that. So if you want to find me on Facebook, find the Kevin Avery fan site. Whatever.
And guys, if you follow at Comedy Film Nerds on Instagram and Twitter, you'll get Kevin's, handles. So that's another great way to support the show. And also, any of the guests you really like, follow them on their social media.
And can you get the archives of your podcast is still up, though, right?
It is still up. Yeah,
even though there's no new episodes.
Denzel Washington is the greatest actor of all time.
Yeah, of all time, period. Yeah, they are still up. I haven't, I think on the main thing now, it's not one of the shows listed. But yeah, you can find it.
Right.
Sweet.
Okay.
Brenton, thank you so much for stepping in for the abducted Aaron Brungardt.
Yes.
Everything good? Everything got recorded, we think? Outstanding.
All right, excellent.
That's what we like to hear.
And thank you to Scarlett Johansson.
And thank you. Yes. Oh, my God. What a wonderful to have it.
I mean,
lucky. A lot of insight.
I got to come in the day she's here.
I know. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Scarlett. Follow her online.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Scarlett, we love you. Just want to see you pick better stuff.
Oh, she's not.
She's agreeing, and she's oh, my God, she's making an obscene gesture about her agent.
Wow.
Yes.
I don't need to know that.
No, it's none of our business.
None of our Scarlett. Handle it on your own time. Scarlett, take a knee.
Yes.
That's our show. Check out Earbuds. Listen to Conversations from the Abyss, The Political Vigilante, and follow Kevin Avery. And thank you, everybody here at All Things Comedy. And my name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember, Han shot first. Take a knee.